Craft. I'm going to say goodbye for now, but I will be back next week with
one access to free concert tickets, movies, music and more. Become a 2SER supporter. Head to 2SER.com/support and click the supporter button to sign up. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
And now it's time for stages.
Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk
about all things
theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Hello and welcome to Stages. I'm Regina Botros, keeping the light lit in the theatres during this time of lockdown. Each week I'm talking with someone from the industry about their life, what they've been doing and what they're looking forward to, and maybe some little tips for you. And this week I'm very excited to talk with the wonderful actor. He's not only an actor, he is a singer, he has an international career, writer, Bollywood leading man, the wonderful one and only Nicholas Brown will be joining me today. So stick around for that. He has been in numerous works such as Counting and Cracking for Belvoir last year, Sydney Theatre Company's The Long Forgotten Dream and Still Point Turning, Griffin's Lighten Up, Beauty and the Beast. He's done international works, Jesus Christ Superstar, Merengong Dead Man Break. He's done so much. I'm very excited to talk with him. I'm going to play a little track that he's been part of because, as I said, he's a singer as well from one of his bands. It's Lucknow with Up and Coming. Big wall. Welcome to Stages. I am Regina Botros, and today we are talking with Nicholas Brown. He's an actor, singer, playwright, so many things. Welcome, Nicholas, Nick Brown, to Stages.
Thank you, Regina.
So, where do you hail from? Where were you born, Nick?
I am a Sydney-sider, born in Sydney. I was born in Auburn Hospital in Sydney and grew up in Western Sydney when I was very young. Our family lived in Mount Druitt and then Blacktown. And then I think from the age of 2 till about 19, I lived in a suburb called Greystanes. I didn't realize it was such a weird sounding suburb until I got older because Stains of Grey, it's a really odd title for a suburb. But
well, Blacktown?
Blacktown, yeah. It's quite ironic, I suppose, because I've ended up being a writer that writes a lot about colour and being stuck in between two worlds and having grown up in a place called Greystanes makes a lot of sense now.
But your family, were they, I know that you've got Indian heritage, did they grow up here or did they come out here at some point?
Both my parents are both Anglo-Indian, which is a really, I guess, confusing nationality to many people because very much a nationality that is stuck between two worlds of European descent and of Indian descent. Uh-huh. And being Anglo-Indian is being mixed race, being born in India, but having a background mixed with English or European as well as Indian.
Okay.
The British lived in India for hundreds of years, obviously, and they shagged a lot of people.
So when did they come out?
They came out in 1970 or 71, I think, and both met in Sydney.
Oh, okay.
In Western Sydney, yeah.
So were they creative as well? Do you get this sort of interest in theatre and music from them? Or
no, my both parents are not so creative. My mum's a teacher and my dad is a salesman. So I don't think I got my creative juices from them. But my paternal grandma played the piano and used to sing a lot, and she inspired me when I was very, very young to have an interest in music and the piano, and I think that started my interest in performing.
Okay.
In the creative world.
So when did you kind of get introduced to the arts? Do you remember the first thing you saw on stage?
I do.
Yeah, what was that?
I think I was in kindergarten and we went to see a panto of the Three Little Pigs at the Parramatta Riverside Theatre.
Oh,
and that's my earliest memory of seeing something on stage, and it was absurd and wonderful and magical and dangerous, and I was hooked.
Really? So it was that moment, was it?
I think so. I wanted to be the wolf.
Don't we all?
I wanted to blow everyone's houses down.
And now you are, metaphorically. I don't know what that means. So did you do acting, I mean, at school and things?
I definitely had a creative childhood because of the primary school I went to. It was because of my music teacher, actually.
Really?
We used to do musicals, and my entry point into this career was definitely through music and through singing and through the piano. My music teacher was my piano teacher as well, and she used to drive me home from school once a week to her house and teach me piano and singing, and cast me in all the musicals that we did back when I was young, and that was the beginning of it all for me.
Was music your first love then?
Definitely.
Yeah. A musical theatre but music, because you've been in bands obviously as well.
Not so much musical theatre at the time. It was more singing and storytelling through singing. And singing along to the piano and definitely music in films as well. I loved watching movie musicals.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely wasn't your typical kind of musical theatre kid. I was more interested in, I guess, pop music, pop musicals and rock musicals.
So you started on the piano?
Started off on the piano, and then I joined a boys' choir when I was about 8 called the Young Sydney Singers, and that was my first foray into the entertainment industry, because we do big gigs at the entertainment centre. We did the Earthquake Relief Concert in 1989 and met all the big stars there, and we used to do weddings and funerals and all sorts of gigs. We recorded albums with Kamal and Norby Rowe and all of these singers. So it was a taste of showbiz at a really young age.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it was through music. Yeah.
So was your music teacher kind of instrumental in you becoming a person? But is there anyone else that was sort of a mentor to you or kind of helped you along the way as you, you know, developed over your career?
As an adult, I haven't really had a mentor or someone that's pulled any strings. I've had to work really, really hard for it myself, to be honest. But as a kid, I definitely had those figures. My piano teacher and my choir master, Paul Bateman, definitely saw something in me and used to kind of nurture me and pull me aside. But as an adult, it's been really, really hard. I've had to carve my own way, I suppose.
Right.
Someone that you know, pulled me aside and you know, wanted to, you know, mentor me. But I've had to learn the hard way, I think.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was kind of getting into unexplored territory when I was getting out of acting school, because not many brown people back then were in the entertainment industry, and so I just had to make it up as I went along. It was really, really hard.
So we're talking about, so you went, you know, after the boys' choir of 8, and, well, you know, the music, you went to Newtown Performing Arts for the last couple of years.
It changed my life going to that school.
Did it?
It really did.
Really?
I was 16 when I started going there and left Western Sydney, and I'd never been into Newtown before. Mm. And it was so eye-opening back then in 1996. You know, there were punks and lesbians and homeless people, and, you know, it was exciting and thrilling. And
before the gentrification.
Yeah, exactly. And I was in love with the place and just milked it for what it was worth, and found my tribe, found my people, and haven't looked back. Yeah. I got into NIDA straight out of high school, which was pretty cool.
Oh, how was that? Was that very much a cult?
A cult?
No, because I remember going in for the directing, 2000s, early 2000s, and I was doing radio, obviously, radio play show, and they were like, you have to give up the radio play show, and I'm like, but it's plays on radio. It was like, you can't do anything else, basically.
Yeah, right? They kind of own you for 3 years, but I was okay with that because I didn't have a career before that anyway. I was only 17 when I got in, so I didn't have a career to put on hold anyway. I had a career to begin. It was hard. Yeah, things were different at NIDA back then. They kind of operated through fear, and it wasn't very nurturing.
Really?
And I was terrified the whole way through that I was going to get kicked out, and I was so young. But I did learn so many wonderful things and made some wonderful connections, you know, connections that I still have today. I just had to do everything backwards, because I think when you go to NIDA and you're a little bit older, you use your life experience to apply to everything that you do. But I didn't have any life experience. So I had to kind of learn all of that and then apply it later when I experienced the things that I should have before going to acting school. So I did it all a bit backwards.
Yeah.
But I definitely felt like I started a bit too young. I started training a bit too young. Yeah.
Well, I suppose then, you know, installing this fear in you that makes you fight harder, because it is such a hard industry to survive in and to do well and to succeed, right?
That's how I look at it. I certainly developed a thick skin, and I feel like I can kind of take anything on because of it, because they were such hard years.
So outside of NIDA, what was your first stage performance, like something that you know, you're like, yes, this is, now I'm doing it?
It took me a while to get a job. It took me about a year to get a professional acting gig out of acting school, which was pretty depressing at the time, because I watched all of my mates kind of go on to get huge gigs at Sydney Theatre Company or films and television. I got a job doing a theatre and education play that toured around New South Wales.
Yes.
Educating kids. I started going to high schools and primary schools and driving myself there. And it was a very humble gig, but it was I was so grateful, because I just hadn't acted in a year. So it was a theatre and education show with Brainstorm Productions. They're still running. They're such a great company.
Do you think that's because of the things that were being written or the things that were being cast at the time, that the roles for Anglo-Indian roles weren't being written? Like, do you think that casting kind of world has changed?
There was just a lot of systemic racism in the entertainment industry. And I had, you know, personal encounters with casting agents, producers, network executives over the course of the first 10 years out of acting school, where I just blatantly received racism. Saw it, witnessed it.
But
it was very, very clear to me that there was a system that was created to limit actors of colour, you know, because they just didn't believe that audiences wanted to see that, you know.
See otherness, or it's not even otherness, because we are all so multicultural. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Really,
Yeah. But look, it's changed a lot. But it was really, really hard being 20 and fresh out of acting school and having to deal with that, you know, realizing, wow, this business is built to keep me out of it in a way. But again, it made me stronger, because I became determined to find a way around the brick wall, you know?
Yeah. So do you have a favourite role that you've played over your career?
Gosh, there have been so many, but one of them was in the Sydney Theatre Company production of The Long Forgotten Dream, which was at the Opera House.
Whoops, I'm losing you. Yeah, Neil Armfield directed.
Yes, and it was about the repatriation of an Indigenous man's bones, and I played a doctor that was bringing the bones back, and it was a difficult play for many reasons, but it was also extremely rewarding to be telling an important story. And I guess I've been fortunate, because every play that I've done recently has had some sort of social conscience, you know. that seems to be the work that I'm getting at the moment, and it lines itself with who I am. So it's really nice when, you know, the work that you do, you know, fits in with who you are.
Mm. Well, do you have a favourite director then? I mean, I think it would be incredible to work with Neil Armfield. But
he's a great man. I loved working with him. I would love to work with Barry Kosky. I don't know if he comes back. I worked with him when I was in third year at NIDA for our graduating show. We devised a piece with him. That's the sort of theatre that inspires me and electrifies me. I like to be electrified by the theatre, and that's what Kosky does. I'd love to work with him.
It's so visual and so mind-blowing. So what would you say is a
I'd love to be blown by the theatre. You know, I think it started with the Three Little Pigs from blowing houses down and being mind-blown by the theatre.
So have you ever played the wolf then? Have you got a chance in your life to play the wolf? Is there a role that that you would really like to play?
I have played the wolf. I worship wolves now instead.
Is there a role that you would love to play in your over your...
Yeah, I'd love to play Othello. I was obsessed with a teenager. I'd love to play Aaron in Titus Andronicus. All of the Moore characters I became quite obsessed with. It was a melancholy that I had when I was looking at that as well, because I guess it was a realisation when I was a teenager that I couldn't play a lot of the roles that I wanted to play because of my skin colour. I've learned to embrace and accept that, and I would love to play Othello.
Time yet.
There's time yet.
Yeah.
Well, no, I haven't surrendered to it. I definitely keep pushing, but I use my writing as a tool now to create change, you know, rather than...
Well, tell me about your writing. Tell me. So you write a lot about colour.
I started writing when I was 25 to basically change the entertainment industry in Australia because it was so racist. Started writing stories about, well, multicultural stories, stories about brown people, brown men, multicultural relationships between two different nationalities. And that's kind of what I do now.
Now, I know recently you have a children's book, but are these other things as well? So what kind of form is it coming out? Is it as a stay for theatre? Is it for short stories? Is it for...
I started writing screenplays, and I still do, and then started writing plays and got my first play up at Griffin Theatre, which was called Lighten Up, and that was an amazing, difficult experience. And now I write for television as well. I wrote an episode of the kids' series, The Unlisted, which was on ABC and Netflix. And I write for Play School now. I wrote my first episode of Play School. And I'm writing for a kids' TV show on ABC called The Wonder Gang as well. So it's a sort of a thing I do on the side now. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a while to get here, but I do love it. It's what I've aspired to do from a young age as well. Oh. So it's nice to get back to that and to... make a bit of money from it as well.
But also a children's book. And there's a reading of you reading.
That's just me putting it out there. I've written quite a few kids' books, and I just thought I'd put it out there now. You know, it's the sort of story that I wish I heard when I was a kid. Black empowerment.
Is it? Tell us what the story is.
Well, it's a story about a vanilla bean called Vanny, and she sets out to kind of correct her misrepresentation in the media because... people think that vanilla is white and vanilla beans are black. So I basically turned that story around. Because if you think about it, you know, vanilla milkshakes and vanilla ice cream is white, but the vanilla bean...
The bean?
That was really interesting. So, yeah, it's a kid's story about trying to, you know, inform the world that vanilla is actually black and not white.
Misunderstandings and assumptions we make.
Exactly, which is something that I've experienced a lot. And so I thought I'd write a kid's story about that.
And you have a couple of children. How's that? How's it being a father?
Look, it's pretty amazing. It feels like one of the best things I've ever done.
Had you always wanted to be a father?
Absolutely. I always knew. I always knew I'd be a dad somehow. After having kids and having created this gorgeous kind of family as well with two very dear friends, and it feels special to be part of this modern family.
It's totally wonderful. Do you write about sexuality as well as
Huh? I've started writing about it as well, as I've become, I guess, more courageous and more secure in myself. For 6 years working in Bollywood.
You lived in India for 6 years?
I did. And I had to be very, very careful over there in regards to my sexuality because, you know, it was illegal to be gay and I had to just shut that side of myself down in order to work in this very masculine kind of industry because I was getting all of these villainous roles.
Wow. So you have played wolves.
There you go. But I found that I was writing a lot about race and I didn't have the courage to write about sex and sexuality. I think a lot of that was because I lived in India and I learned to just keep that quiet, you know. And I think eventually when you're a writer, you've got to be honest and you've got to write about who you are and what you've experienced. And having kids has definitely made me brave in order to do that, yeah.
It makes you want to be a model for them, a role model for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want, when I was growing up and figuring out who I was, there was a lot of shame, and that was in regards to my skin colour as well as my sexuality, which I wasn't aware of at the time. Mm. But I don't want my kids to sense any of that shame whatsoever because they're growing up with, you know, queer parents in a rainbow family. So I've just been working on that and been, you know, trying to work through all of those issues that I had to show the kids that it's totally normal and totally fine to be different, you know?
Mm. So tell me more about Bollywood and what that is. I've seen a clip of you dancing and it's incredibly, like, you haven't put dancer on your bio, but man, that work is like, wow, fantastic. What's it like over there? Like, what is that industry like?
Gosh, well, it's pretty chaotic. It's very, very different from over here. I went over in 2007. I didn't know anyone. I couldn't speak the language. And I was just so fortunate. I think when you jump off the cliff and dive into the unknown, you can only benefit from it, you know. It was the biggest risk I've ever taken, and it definitely paid off. Within a couple of weeks, I was in a musical that was touring around Europe and ended up on the West End. And then a couple of months after that, I was cast in this major Bollywood film being a, you know, action kind of hero. And it was a whirlwind. But I think the reality of living and working over there kicked in after a while and my language skills were just not good enough. I had this weird blockage when it came to Hindi because my parents are ashamed of and have been for many years of their Indian heritage, which is really sad, but it's something I've let go and it's their issue, not mine. And I think speaking the language over there was difficult because of that. So I found it hard with the language as well.
You mean, do you think it's a sort of, sorry, generational shame? Do you think like you're carrying on there? Is that why it was hard? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, okay.
It's just this blockage speaking. Mm. It's really strange.
It was like you were going against them or something.
In a way, yeah. I'd sort of inherited their shame. So I had to kind of work through that. And I'm proud to be of Indian heritage and I love going over there and being in Mumbai is like a second home now. I do love it. Yeah.
Mm.
I kind of go back and forth now. I do a lot of theatre over there and did a couple of big musicals over there, which was cool. And some indie films and a big blockbuster film. So I'd still love to keep going back. But obviously my kids keep me in Australia these days. Yeah.
So what would you be doing now if we weren't all shut down?
I would be in China right now. I was doing a musical called Come From Away down in Melbourne, which is a Broadway Canadian musical that was on the West End and Broadway. And we opened in Melbourne last year and ran for 9 months and was supposed to go to China on a huge
blockbuster tour.
Yeah. And of course, that got shut down. So I'd be in Melbourne. And we're supposed to be opening in Sydney in July, August.
Well, it says it's supposed to be going ahead, so we'll see, hey?
We're just taking each day as it comes. No one knows what's going on.
So what is the Coming From Away? Is it also
about heritage?
Not so much. It's set around the time of 9/11 on an island in Canada called Newfoundland. A place called Gander, and 38 planes were sent to Gander in Newfoundland because the American airspace was closed, obviously because of the terrorist attacks. Mm. And thousands of people were sent to this small island, I suppose. And the musical is about the locals accepting all of these different people and nationalities into their homes and creating these lifelong friendships. So it's this beautiful story about kindness and connection, which is a strange premise for a musical when you think about it, but it's been so successful. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful show.
Wow. Well, let's hope we see that later on in the year.
Well, I'm sure you'll be there opening night, Jenny.
I will be. I'll be there.
With a champers.
So what are you doing with yourself then since you're based here in Australia rather than China touring?
I've been using the time wisely. I've been finishing a lot of screenplays that I've been trying to finish over the last year. I'm writing for a kids' TV show, which is called The Wonder Gang, which I told you about briefly. Yeah. So I've got my second draft in of that a couple of days ago. And, just writing, using the time to write.
And how are you keeping yourself sane outside of work?
Oh, goodness.
I know what you've been doing. You've been writing letters to friends or people you know.
Because I have been.
I put a post up on Facebook saying, who wants a handwritten letter? I've been writing that. And I've been taking a lot of Rescue Remedy, a lot of herbs.
Oh, my God.
A lot of herbs and flower essences, experimenting with them.
Yeah.
That's been keeping me sane.
Have you found it hard?
I have, yeah. I definitely have. But I'm also grateful for the stillness. And, I haven't been that crazy socially on Zoom connecting with everyone. Instead, I've kind of gone into my shell and using the time to create, which I think most people are doing anyway who are in this business, you know.
What do you think as an actor is the most important thing for you, like to, if you were going to give advice to someone, to succeed or to be?
I think, honestly, it's learning how to deal with rejection. I think that's the main thing. Having been in this business now for 20 years and having seen so many colleagues just quit or pull out, I think it's because they just are not the sort of people to deal with rejection. And if you're able to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going, you will eventually succeed. But if you're not the type of person to handle rejection, then I don't think this business is for you. That's the advice I'd give.
Mm-hmm.
Rejection management.
You should run a course. Fantastic. Well, Nick, thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
I'll see you locally soon.
I'll be back.
Well, that was Nicholas Brown, actor, singer, writer, and so much more. You can see him on stage later this year. You can hear his words in children's television or online. I have been Regina Botros. This has been Stages. I'll leave you with one other track from Nicholas Brown, I Spent My Rent on a Record. It's a Bollywood remix. I'll see you next week, keeping the lights on stage, in Stages, here every week on Wednesdays. I spent my rent on a record. I spent my rent. I spent my rent on a record. I spent my rent. And I don't care. I don't care. Set it for shelter, accommodation necessary.
Utilize your creativity with a NIDA open course online. For children, young people and adults, NIDA Open provides inspiring and engaging experiences that are now accessible from home. Acting, TV presenting, voice, writing and more, with new courses being released over the coming weeks. Places are limited, so book now to secure your spot. Go to nida.edu.au/open. NIDA sponsors 2SER 107.3.